Take your Bibles and turn with me, if you would, please, to the book of Psalms, Psalms 122. Reading just one verse this morning, Psalm 122 in verse 1, says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I hope you woke up with that in your heart this morning. Glad to be in the house of the Lord. Now, this morning, I want to share with you five principles I believe will help you to make the most out of every single Sunday worship experience. Psalm 122, which says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord, is what is called a song of ascent. It was one of several songs that were sung by the travelers as they made their way from their villages up to the temple in Jerusalem. And on their way to Jerusalem, they would sing songs of praise and would glorify God. I want you to picture in mind with me for a moment, a happy clan of believers. They are making their way to Jerusalem. They're winding their way through the hill country on hot, dusty paths. And they're singing with all their might. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, their attitude. It was an attitude of joy. You know, to make the most of our Sunday worship experiences, we must have the right attitude. The psalmist says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Those first three words, I was glad. Their attitude then was one of gladness and joy. Friends, this is clearly the kind of attitude that God honors when he sends forth his blessings upon his children. You know, all too often our attitude is off on Sunday mornings. We'd rather be sleeping in. The worship thing is a total inconvenience. We'd rather be fishing, camping, or golfing. For some, they may be sitting in the sanctuary saying, you know, I could be making $40 an hour, making double time or overtime on a Sunday. And, you know, in their mind, they're just thinking, come on, preacher, make this thing quick. I've got places to go and things to do. It reminds me of a story of a man by the name of George. George was 43 years of age, single, and still living with his parents. One Sunday morning, George woke up, turned over in his bed, looked at his mom and said, I'm not going to church today. She said, well, why aren't you going to church, George? He said, well, I'm tired, number one. Number two, the people there, they really don't like me. And thirdly, the sermons are dull. Well, George's mother looked at George and said, well, George, we always go to church on the Lord's Day, number one. Number two, it doesn't matter whether they like you or not. God cares, and God's the one we're going to church for. And thirdly, you're the pastor. Poor George. David said, I was glad. I was happy. I was thrilled when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. What do you suppose singing these songs as they would worship along the dusty path making their way to Jerusalem, what do you suppose it did in the heart of the traveler? I'll tell you what I think was happening. As they were singing those songs making their way to Jerusalem, there was an attitude adjustment that was taking place. You see, your attitude will determine your altitude. It will determine to a great degree what God can do and what God will do in your life. On Sunday mornings in the Brooks household, growing up as a child, my father would come into each one of our bedrooms and he would sing to us. And the song he would sing, some of you may have heard, it's an old, 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 old song. Everybody ought to go to Sunday school. How many has ever heard that one? Everybody ought to go to Sunday school, Sunday school, Sunday school. The men and the women and the boys and the girls, everybody ought to go to Sunday school. And my father, as loud as he could sing, is off key, which came natural. He would come into each one of our bedrooms and he would take and sing at the end of our beds until we got up. Now, I have to admit that loud, off-key rounds of songs made it so that we needed an attitude adjustment before we got to the house of the Lord. Now, here's what I've discovered. I'm sure you have as well. Not referring to my dad necessarily, but the devil loves to mess with our attitudes on Sunday morning. As we enter into the sanctuary, many times we come, we're upset, we're defeated. We've had car problems, kid problems, squabbles on the way. And when we get to the house of the Lord, rather than having a joyful spirit, we need an attitude adjustment before we can ever get the word of the Lord into our hearts. Psalm 100, I believe, gives us a definition of a proper attitude in coming to the house of the Lord. In Psalm 100, which is a psalm of David, it says this, and we'll ask you to fill in some of the key blanks as we pause, all right? Make a what? Joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Make what kind of a noise? Joyful noise. Serve the Lord with? Come before his presence with? Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with
praise.
Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is
good.
For the Lord is
good.
For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Friends, that's a great way to come into the presence of God. Understanding who God is and glorifying him for who he is. Secondly, I want you to see here that there's a spirit of expectancy. Remember now, they could not simply get in their cars and drive to church. They would have to walk. And many times it would take them a day or more to get to Jerusalem. And so while they're making the journey, they're having an attitude adjustment on the way. They're making sure that when they get to Jerusalem, get to the temple, their hearts are ready and right to receive all that God has for them. But I want you to see, there's a spirit of expectancy. I was glad. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. This psalm is filled with anticipation. The worshipers couldn't wait to get to the house of God. As much as I enjoy, and I know that I enjoy and you enjoy, our personal devotional times. If you want to find me in the morning at 6:30 in the morning, you're going to find me in the family room. You're going to find me in a white chair that's in the corner. There's going to be a cup of coffee in one hand, the Bible in the other, and it's my time with God. And it is so wonderful to start out your day that way. And I love worshiping alone. However, as much as I love to worship alone, there's an excitement and there's an anticipation that grows in my heart as I begin to think about my opportunity to come and worship with all of you on a Sunday. It has multiplied what God has done in my life, what God has done in your life, and as together we glorify and worship God, there is something that happens in the house that cannot happen when you're all alone. As good as it is when you're all alone with the presence of God. Now, I would challenge you. Someone said to me a long time ago, and I really took it to heart. They said, if you cannot tell me where your devotional time is taking place, so if you do not have a where and you do not have a when, it is more than likely you do not have a devotional life. Think about that for a moment. If I were to ask you, where do you have your devotions and what time do you have your devotions? If you cannot answer either one of these, more than likely, your prayer life, your devotional life is going to be rather spotty. It's going to be on and off. And so the children of Israel, they have an expectation. They're worshiping as a cluster group on their way to the temple, and they realize once they get there, there is going to be at high holy days, there would be as many as 1 million people coming to Jerusalem. The mountains round about Jerusalem be filled with these travelers. and they would all be on the way. They were preparing themselves and readying themselves. And the psalmist is saying here, I can't wait to get to the house of the Lord. You know, I'm one that, for the most part, I really feel like the anticipation of something that's upcoming is part of the fun. So whether it's a vacation, a cruise, whether going to Hawaii or to Wisconsin Dells, it's all part of the process that I enjoy, just anticipating what is going to happen when I get there. Now, sometimes my anticipations is greater than the actual event. I remember the first time we as a group from Oak Creek Assembly of God, we traveled together, many of us, over to, the Great Falls, Niagara Falls. And as a child, I remember looking at books and seeing the pictures and watching, programs about, these Great Falls. When I got there, let me tell you, it was one of those events. It was magnificent. How many have been there at one time or another? It is, isn't it? It is magnificent that, the rush and to hear the sound of, the waters, cascading down and down the river. It's a magnificent sight. It's one of those sights that lived up to its expectation. However, many times in life, what we expected out of something, falls somewhat short. God, however, He never lets us down. You can have the highest expectation of what God is going to do, and He will always do this according to the Word. He will do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask or even think. He always goes beyond. Thirdly, I want you to think about practical preparation. All of us, we spend time preparing for the most important events of life. Whether it's marriage or the birth of a child or retirement, we spend time in preparation. I've had several friends that have had the opportunity to go to the White House and meet with the president, many of them as it relates to Israel and to the state of Israel. And one came through the Milwaukee area and he was on his way to Washington, D.C. And he was so excited. And what was going through his mind, he was asking me, well, what should I wear? What should I wear when I go to the White House? And how should I address the president of the United States? What is the proper protocol? He said, I've only got one kind of wore out old suit. He said, will you take me to a tailor? And I want a custom made suit because I'm going to go meet the president. The prophet Amos said this. He said, prepare to meet thy God. Prepare to meet God. Now, he's not speaking only in the sense of one day, each and every one of us, when we draw our last breath or at the rapture of the church, we're going to stand before God and we're going to give an account for our lives. Amos, yes, he is saying that, but he's saying much more than that. He is saying, prepare yourself to be in the presence of the Almighty God. Friends, meeting with God is an awesome privilege. So how do we prepare for it? There's something that I discovered back in the Old Testament, so the book of Exodus chapter 19, starting with verse 9, in preparation to meet with God. Listen to what it says. The Lord said to Moses, I'm going to come to you in a dense cloud so that the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you. You are going to have credibility, Moses, because they're going to see I come down and speak with you. Then Moses told the Lord what the people had said. And the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them. That means separate them, make them separate from the world and the world's way of doing things. Consecrate them today and tomorrow. Have them what? Isn't that interesting? Have them, one more time, wash their what? Have them wash their clothes. We'll come back to that in a moment. And be ready by the third day, because on that day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. Go down to verse 14. After Moses had gone down the mountain to the people, he consecrated them, and they what? Washed their clothes. Then he said to the people, prepare yourselves for the third day. And as you read on, you'll see where there is further preparation to meet with God. You know, growing up as a child, Saturday was a time of preparation. I told you last Sunday as we talked about Saturday nights at the Brooks household, it was always pizza and Saturday night the fights. And when the fights were over, then it was time to ready oneself to get ready to meet with God. Saturday was preparation then. Saturday's routine in our household then meant you got out all the shoes. Now, when you have 10 boys and one girl, there's a lot of shoes. All the shoes would come out, and we would polish them. Every Saturday night, that was part of our ritual. And I remember we would take turns. And I remember going through 20 separate shoes, plus my dad's. And we would take and polish them up, and he would want to see his reflection in those shoes, because tomorrow is not like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. It's not like Saturday or any other day. It's going to be the Lord's day, and we're going to meet with God. And I realize this is very small and seemingly very petty to talk about shoes, but I was taught if you're going to go meet with God, you get ready to meet with God based on the fact that God said to Moses, Moses, I want you to tell the people in this simple little way of getting ready, wash your clothes. Don't come before me with dirty clothing. Don't come before me smelling like the world. Wash your clothes, get prepared, because I'm going to come down and I'm going to meet with you. You know, these special clothes that we would take and lay out for Saturday night, we called them our church clothes. These were clothes we did not wear to Friday night basketball games or to the football game or to any other activity. It was not our work clothes. It was in the smallest little teeny tiny way. It was the upbringing that I was brought up with, that if you're going to meet with God, give him your best. And so there was the ritual of laying out the clothing, making sure that, you know, our church clothes was all set out. And then there was the very dreaded worst part for a little boy, Saturday night bath. We had one tub, only one bathroom, 13 people living in the house. And my prayer was always during the week, Lord, let me be the first one in the tub. I'm not sure whether it was just for ease or whatever, but I mean, it was one would get out, the next one would get in, next one out, next one in. That's gross. When I get to heaven, I'm going to remind my mother of that. But it was her way of saying, tomorrow, with polished shoes and with church clothes, we're going to be in the presence of Almighty God. Saturday night was not a time. We're not allowed to go messing around all night long, because tomorrow we're going to meet with God. And God deserved our best and fullest attention. Church, I fear that in so many ways we've become too casual these days in planning to come before God. When I consider the fact, was God ever impressed? Did he ever say, man, I love them shoes? Never happened. Was there anything about the clothing that we call our church clothes and all of that that God ever said, you know, because you're wearing these, I'm going to bless you? No. So did it really probably mean a whole lot to God? That I don't fully know or understand. All I knew is my family's way of saying, tomorrow is not like any other day. And so we prepare. And we prepared by getting our memory verses ready, reading our Bible stories ready, because tomorrow we're meeting with God. I want you to consider active participation. You know, Psalm 103 and verse 1 says this, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." Friends, worship can either be a noun or it can be a verb. You can go to worship like a worship service, which is a noun, or you can go and worship, which is a verb. It is active. Psalm 103, David calls his spirit to active participation, to verb-style worship. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless your holy name. You see, David desired nothing less than wholehearted, whole being, active participation in the worship of Almighty God. And yet, with all of that in mind, so often I look out and I see people that come and they do not engage at all in anything that takes place. They will not sing. They do not raise a hand in worship. They will not stand when we worship. They will not sit when it's time to sit. They're just doing their own thing all the way through. They don't crack a Bible. Friends, when we put these on the screen, that is only to help. The screen won't be with you tomorrow. You need to know the Word, and you need to have a Bible. Mine is taped together again. Now, you can have a Bible that's abused, and to some extent, this one's been abused because of all the carrying and stuffed in briefcases, and I never go anywhere without it. But as a result of carelessness today, there's so many, they don't understand the Word. They don't understand where it's found in the Bible. And if you're new to Christianity and you're possibly even you're investigating Christianity, you're trying to find out what is this Jesus stuff and why do people gather in a house like this on a Sunday and worship and glorify God and why do they listen to someone talk out of this book and you're trying to find out what this book is all about, I get it. I understand. It is a big book. It's got 66 books within it, and you're trying to figure this thing out, but you need to get the Bible, open it up, follow along, and if you're sitting next to someone you see where they're struggling and trying to find it, help them. We are here to help one another, and what we want is we want to make sure that it's hard to get to hell from Oak Creek Assembly of God. And so we help each other. We encourage each other. Get a Bible if you don't have one. If you can't afford one, talk to me. I'll get you a Bible. I want you to know the Word because the preacher will not be there tomorrow. You will. Your circumstances, you will face them. And I promise you, when you get to know the Word has something to say about everything that's important in life. There's not a subject that will ever be a subject of importance in your life that God's Word does not say something about. Participate. It brings the blessing of the Lord. If you're uncertain where to find something, let me tell you, we're all here to help. We want to help you grow in Christ. Notice there's also a consistency in worship. A consistent worship habit. You know, Jesus, the Bible said, made it his custom, habit, tradition to faithfully be in the house of the Lord. Look at Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. It says that he, that is Jesus, came to Nazareth. That's his hometown where he'd been brought up. And as his custom was, as his habit was, as his tradition was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he stood up for to read. So he's not only going to go to church, he's going to participate. In reality, mankind is really rather selfish and self-centered. When you think about it, God gave us 6 days as our own. We can do what we like in those 6 days, though we are to honor him all 7 days out of the week. God gave to us 6 days pretty much of our own. And so many have stolen the Lord's day and taken it as well. And they've made it like the other 6 days out of the week. God blesses us, and God has given to us 9 out of every $10 we earn, and that's not enough. We say, God, we could care less. We believe that we are self-sufficient, self-made men and women, and we are going to cut you out of the deal. Friends, let me tell you, you'll never, ever get ahead of God by cutting him out. Keep him in your day. Keep him in your life. Keep him in your finances. Keep him in your home. Keep him in your marriage. Keep him in your parenting. Keep Jesus in everything in your life. David said, I'm glad. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Friends, I am so glad that God has given to us the Lord's Day. I'm so glad that on this day we can reflect and we can relax and we can take in and we can worship. We should gladly, that was the mindset of the early church and of the Jews making the way, gladly on their way to the house of the Lord. To make the most out of your Sunday worship experience, you need to make it a steady habit or tradition. If family's in town, on vacation, a long weekend, make sure you take time first and foremost to be in the presence of God this summer. And I pray that every one of you, you all have a summer that's filled with the blessing of the Lord, and you have time to reflect and time to relax, a time to go on a road trip as a family or meet family or vacations or whatever the circumstance, whether it's in town, a staycation or a vacation, where you go to the Dells or you go to Europe or wherever it's at. I pray that you have an incredible summer. But I'm here to tell you today, if you really want the blessing of the Lord to continue in your life, honor him. Even when you're away on vacation, let me encourage you this summer, attend church. You know, some of the most wonderful experiences of attending a church has been while Sherry and I have been on vacation. I've also discovered that every single cruise ship I've ever been on, if you're looking, also conducts a worship service on board. I've not been on one single ship, and I've been on many all throughout the world, not on one where there's not been a service. Well, it may not be an evangelical Pentecostal service. I've gone to some that I had to turn my collar backwards. I've gone to others where, I mean, it was just, you know, it was different in many, many, many different ways. But I'm here to tell you, when you are with God's people on the Lord's Day and the Word of God is opened, even though it may not be your tradition, even though it may be a little unique and a little different, I'm here to tell you when God shows up, because you have prepared your heart and your life, and you're saying, I'm going to be in the presence of God. Amen? Amen. Stick with it. The sidelights, our prime timers left this morning. There's 50. There'll be 51 before the day's over. I'm flying out this afternoon. I'll catch up with them in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and then on to the Rapid City area, to Mount Rushmore and the sites in the west. But I remember so vividly, we were in Canada. It was the Lord's Day, and it had been a busy travel day. And as a result of that, we had not yet had an opportunity to get alone with God as a group of people, the 50-some that were on the bus that day. And so we were on the island of Cadres, the Cadre Island in Canada. And as we were just touring throughout, we came by a Catholic church. And it was such a beautiful, small, little, you know, just picturesque. It was like a postcard kind of looking church building. And I said to the driver, I said, stop. He said, well, I don't know that it's open. I said, let's stop. Went up to the door. The door was open. The lights and whatnot, we just turned them on. And I said, come on in. We're going to have church right here. We commandeered the Catholic church and made it a Pentecostal church. And what a fun time we had. Here's what I'm telling you. These unique times and experiences make for special memories, special friends, and special experiences, and special blessings that you'll never, ever forget. This summer, wherever you travel, and I pray that everyone has a chance to get away and do some relaxation, let me encourage you, get to the house of God. That hour, hour and a half that you take will make the difference in the rest of your entire vacation. It will. Spend some time with God. Now, let me also encourage you to do something else this summer. Wherever you go, and as you go to various places of worship throughout the summer months, let me encourage you to do this. bring back a bulletin to me. Will you do that? Now you're saying, that's a trick thing, Pastor. I know what you're doing. You're checking up on us. Yes, I am. But beside that, I love seeing what is happening in the body of Christ all over the world. And so some of you are going to be in Europe, it's going to come back in German, it's going to come back in French, it's going to come back, you know, in Spanish languages, it's going to come back, you know, from various churches and places where you've been. And I just want to rejoice with you. So if you bring back that bulletin, the other thing, let me encourage you to do this. Take a picture. Will you do that? It's getting deeper, isn't it? I want you to take a picture. Stand outside. If the church has got a sign out front or, you know, in front of the front door or whatever, take a photo. Will you do that? Now, that's not the only photo I want to see. I want to see the biggest ball of twine when you stop there as well, all right? And I want to see, you know, some of the exciting places and scenes that you are enjoying throughout this summertime. And here's what we're going to do. I'm going to start a brand new series in, it'll be July. I believe it's the second week of July. A brand new series called Road Trip. And every single week throughout the summer, as I talk about Road Trip, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take your pictures and where you have been. We're going to put it on screen so we can all see where we've been and where the body of Christ is going and all the places. And we're going to show some of the photos from your summer vacation. So all you have to do is go to our link on the Facebook for the Oak Creek Assembly of God. Post some pictures over there. Bring a bulletin. Let's make this a summer of blessing others and being blessed of the Lord. Because I believe everywhere you go, that's right. I believe that everywhere you go, the blessing of the Lord is going to go with you. And you're going to sit alongside of someone you've never met before in a church, in a community where you've never been. And God is going to use you this summer to be a blessing to someone else. And let me also say, when you're in town, don't let the preacher down, all right? Let's all make it the best summer we've ever had. Now, this message today is kind of like the old story. If you give a man a fish, he will eat a meal. He'll eat for the day. But if you teach him to fish, he's going to eat how long? For a lifetime. You take these five principles and put them into action in your life. It's not just a day meal. This will cause you to grow and to be excited about the things of God for a lifetime. And David said, wow, what a day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. And I'm on my way to the house of the Lord. And I'm glad I'm on my way to the house of the Lord. And I'm on a journey. And on this journey, I'm going to make sure that we sing the songs of glory, because that's going to help our attitudes when we get there. When our kids were really little, we'd go out to South Dakota to visit grandparents. The Dekalb Hills, I don't want to call them mountains, they're hills. And a hill's somewhat smaller than a mountain, all right? Everybody got that? And as soon as we come out of Minnesota, come up over the top of the hills by Traverse Lake, you could see the Dekalb Ridge, which extends as far as one could see in both directions. And the little town that I grew up in was right at the foothills of the Dekalb. And the kids would start singing. Stephanie and John and Stacy, as little ones, they would start singing, "We're on our way to Grandpa's house, to Grandpa's house, to Grandpa's house. We're on our way to Grandpa's house. How fun it's gonna be." And they would just sing and sing and sing because they knew they were getting close. Friends, if there was ever time for the church to be singing the songs, it's now. We're closer than you can imagine. We're going to close in just a moment. Take these five things, put them in your heart, put them into action this summer. But I want to also pray this morning. Like many of you probably have seen and heard the news from Orlando, Florida. A shooting that they believe is terrorist related has killed 20, 30 others have been critically injured. and the hundreds of people that are affected by the sorrow of this moment. I want to pray for them.